The topic that we're talking about today is so detailed that I'm going to have to use my iPad. And I'm not particularly comfortable looking at notes. And so, in fact, I don't even know how to turn this thing on. There we go. And so if you see me stumble a little bit, then give me some grace. We're talking about the timeline of the end times. We're talking about the timeline, things that you can look at and go, okay, the rapture is about to come. The rapture is when God takes his people off the earth. You're gone. You are gone. And it's his people. It's the believers. And so the question is always, are we close to that? Is that getting closer? Now, what we're going to do this week is we're going to look at Israel to determine whether or not we're getting closer to that. All right. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about, are there things in the United States that are paralleling with Israel that are saying, hey, the rapture is near? And the third Sunday, I have no idea, but it's going to be good. All right. I haven't got there yet, but I promise you it's going to be good. But why do we look at Israel? I got three major points. First one is signs in Israel. The second one is going to be about the rapture. And then the third one is to remember your why, on why you even serve the Lord in the first place. So let's talk about Israel. Let's talk about the timeline. Let's talk about the timeline, then we'll get into Israel. This is the timeline. If you want to take pictures of this, I want to encourage you to take pictures of this so that you can look at it later. Next Sunday, I'm going to bring the timeline back a little bit. I'm going to bring it back to Adam and Eve and work my way forward. But we're starting off in the New Testament right here when Jesus gets crucified. Okay? That was when he paid for our sins. That was critical. And if you want to stand up and take a picture, come close, or, you know, your camera now, every single year they come out with an iPhone that has a better camera. And I'm like, my camera can already see Mars, so I'm good. But you can take a picture. So Jesus gets crucified here. 3 days later, he rises again, and then he walks around on the earth for 40 days. That's boss. Then here's Acts chapter 2, okay? This is the church age. This is when the disciples, this is the Apostle Paul, this is Azusa Street, this is Celebration Church of the Woodlands, all right? This is the church age right here. This is where we're at. Then there's going to be the rapture. The rapture, I'll get into this because this is point number two. Don't want to talk about it too much. But the rapture is when God takes the believers off the earth and the non-believers stay. Okay? And the believers are not defined as people who believe in Jesus. So if you believe in Jesus and you're like, man, I'm going. No, not so much. Okay? Like Satan believes in Jesus. All right? The people that go are the people that have devoted their life to lay it down to follow the Lord. So, Lord, I'm going to love what you love. I'm going to hate what you hate. And on the things that I want to do, that I don't want to do, that you don't want me to do, I'm going to ask for your help because I want to please you. I live for you. Those people go up. The people that just believe in him, yeah, I believe in him. No, not you. You're not going up. You're staying right here. Do you want the truth or you want sugar sticks? All right. In, where is it? 2 Timothy 3:16 or 15 says this, that because you are not hot, you're not passionate about God, but you're not cold either, like you do believe in him. You're lukewarm. I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. So being like caught in the middle, that's not you. All right. That's a little heavy for now. Look at somebody next to you and say, don't worry about it. We're going to, look at them and say, worry about it. Like you need to worry about it. Here's the rapture of the church. 7-year tribulation after the believers go to heaven. Here we go. We got 7 years tribulation. This is bad, 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 because there's no believers on the earth anymore. And then all the people that believed in God, but they were lukewarm, they weren't all the way in, they're here without believers. Like, pastors are gone. Worship leaders are gone. You are gone. This is very bad. Nations are getting blown up. They're fighting each other. Atomic bombs are everywhere. This is a very, 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 very bad time. Now, just so you guys know, for some of you guys know the prophetic timeline pretty good, you can hear me talking, and some of you, you're not really familiar with this part, but there's I'm pre-tribulation, which means that the church is being raptured before this. There are some believers that think that they're mid-trib right here. And then there's some that are post-trib, where the rapture is going to happen back here. Now, my personal belief, people argue about this all the time, and you know, a lot of these guys are a lot smarter than I am, but my personal belief is, when you look at the history of Jesus, when he flooded the earth, what did he do? He took the believers and he made them safe. When Sodom and Gomorrah, they were LGBTQ, gay, all that stuff, he blew them to smithereens. But what did he do first? He took the believers out. So his history is to take the believers out when there's massive world judgment. Are you with me? So that's why I got the rapture of the church here, just because that's his history. If you want to know someone's future behavior, you look at their past behavior. So if you're dating somebody who's absolutely nuts, you can expect them to continue to be nuts. All right, that was free. Okay, here we go. Then we got the second coming. This is not the rapture. The rapture is when believers are taken up off the earth. They're just, phew. And Jesus, we meet him in the sky. He is in the clouds. Angels are in the clouds. We go up and we meet him. Jesus does not come down. We go up. And then Jesus comes down. And we look like bosses, because we're with the angels. We are with Jesus. We are coming down too. On a horse, a whipping and a riding. We come down, he establishes a reign. The earth does not look like it does right now. We're talking like Garden of Eden level. It looks beautiful. Great white throne judgment. This is a scary, scary thing, because now every evil person who has ever lived, every unbeliever who's ever lived, every person who is nonchalant about him, I believe in him, but I'm nonchalant about him. These are people that go to the pit of hell. They know they're sinning. They don't care. How do I know that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26. For the person, Hebrews 10, 26, for the person who has come aware of the truth, but continues to sin flagrantly, the sacrifice of Jesus no longer applies to them. So, I was not expecting it to be this heavy. Look at the person next to you and just say, are you losing weight? Go ahead, just. This is where they get judged. This is where Satan gets judged. This is a cool moment for us. We've already been raptured. Now watch this. What we do, the Bible says this, is we're going to look at Satan and go, that's the worm that tormented me? It's going to be an awesome moment. So you people that are getting raptured, I'm sorry, I'm thinking about points I'm going to preach later. We are not being judged on that judgment seat. There's another judgment seat where we're judged, and it's awesome. is called the Bema seat, B-E-M-A. Some people say Bema, some people say Bema. I call it awesome. Because what happens is believers are now judged, but we are not judged according to our sins. That's when we receive rewards. That's where the Lord looks at you and says, you see that season that almost broke you, but you continued to believe in me? Boom. Reward. Rewards, rewards, rewards. It's beautiful. Then, the eternal state, new heaven and new earth. That's eternity. It's going to be amazing. Now, the question is, how close are we to the rapture of the church? You have to pay attention to Israel to determine how close we are. Now, some of you just moved to the Gulf Coast area. You just moved to Texas. Some of you that are watching right now, you live in places like Wyoming. You have no idea what it's like to know a hurricane is coming. You have no idea. And so how do we know how far the hurricane is away? We watch the Gulf of Mexico or the Gulf of America or... We watch that ocean over there. My 11-year-old said, can you just rename stuff? And I was like, I don't know. But anyway, the Gulf, we watch the Gulf. And there's, we watch the hurricane. And when we watch that hurricane, that's all we're doing. We're not watching anything else except for that hurricane, because that hurricane is determining when Texas, the Gulf Coast, is going to be affected. We don't watch anything except for Israel. Why is Israel so important? Watch this. In Leviticus 26, verse 12, God looks at the children of Israel. Moses delivered them through the Red Sea. The Red Sea is parted. They're out of slavery. And the Lord looks at them and goes, you are my people. I will walk with you. I am your God and you are my God. What's it say? I will walk among you and be your God and you will be my people. I'm going to walk among you. He's looking at everybody else, all those evil Egyptians. Boom, boom. But you're mine. That's the Old Testament. And let me ask you, in the Bible, everything that Jesus did was in Israel. Where was Jesus born? In Israel. That was the right answer. Don't be afraid. Where was Jesus born? In Israel. There you go. It's particularly in Bethlehem. Where was Jesus' ministry, his three-year ministry? It was all in? Israel. Okay, come on, help me out. It was all in? Israel. Particularly in Galilee. Jesus was crucified in? Israel. You guys are on it now. It's Israel. Particularly in Golgotha. When Jesus rose again out of the grave, it was in? Particularly in Jerusalem. When the second coming comes, when he actually comes down, it's going to be in? Particularly on the Mountain of Olives. Which, just a little sidebar, I went there. The Mountain of Olives is right here. And then there's like this valley where there's the city of David. And the Bible says that he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And he's going to go into the city of David and walk through the gate. Now, between the Mount of Olives and the city of David, there's a valley, and there's Muslims that have a cemetery there, there's Christians that have a cemetery there, and there's Jews that have a cemetery there, because they believe all that land is theirs. The Jews, these particular Jews that I'm talking about, they don't believe in Jesus, which is a big problem. Because in John 14:6, I'm trying to figure out which one I want to say. Just write down John 14:6 and John 6:44. But in John 14:6, it says, no man comes to the Lord unless drawn by the Father. I think that's John 14:6. Just know that it's in the Bible, okay? This is going to bother me. Hold on. John 14:6. Forget about it. John 14:6. John 6:44. It's one of those. Who's looking it up? It's 6:44. No man comes to the Father unless drawn by the Son. Look up. I'm sorry, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. So that means when Jews say, I don't believe in you, you're not getting to the Father. So, gosh, I'm going to go over time. All right, I'm just telling you now. Hey, I've gone 52 weeks in a row at 25 minutes, okay? So give me another 10 minutes, okay? So here we go. When Jesus comes off that mount, the Christians are like, let's go. The Muslims are like, no, we're not going to let you in when you land on that mount. So we're going to put concrete on the door. So Jesus is going to land on the Mount of Olives and he's going to look down and go, oh, shoot. My whole plan. What are we going to do? Come on, people, think. So anyway, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. He's going to go into Israel, which is in Jerusalem. And Jerusalem within Israel, the millennial reign is going to be in Israel. Everything happens in Israel. Now, next week, we're going to talk about parallel signs that go in America along with Israel. But that's next week. Everything happens in Israel. So there are so many things that have happened in Israel to say that the rapture is very close. So I'm just going to pick one, just one. The one that rocks me the most and the one that I think that will rock you as well. Let me read this. Let me explain it first. Israel was not even a nation for 2,000 years. They were disobedient, and God allowed them to be conquered. For 2,000 years, no Israel. None. But on May the 14th, 1948, Israel was reestablished. This is one of the biggest miracles known. This is what the Bible says about it. In Isaiah 66, verse 8, it was prophetic that Israel was going to be gone and then be reestablished. It says this, who has ever heard of such a thing, of such things? Who has ever seen things like this? Can a country be born in a day or a nation be brought forth in a moment? This is crazy. Now watch this. We're not quite there. It's going to blow your mind in a minute. Not quite there. Read this verse and then we'll blow your mind, okay? Now, here we go. I'm going to need you to read this out loud with me, okay? Look at the person next to you and say, participate. Here we go. Nice and loud. Now learn this. All right, time out. I got to be Pentecostal and interrupt you for a second. Okay. If you read, watch this, if you read Hosea 9:10 and Jeremiah 24, verse 5, it tells us that Israel is a fig tree. It's represented as a fig tree. It's an illustration. Now, what we're seeing here is when the fig tree begins to bear leaves, when it's reestablished, when it comes back to life, May 14th, 1948, when it comes back to life, 2000, it's going to be gone, but when it comes back, here we go. Ready? Everybody say yes. Yes. All right, let's start over. Now learn this lesson. Okay. What are we saying? if you see May 14th, 1948 happen, that generation, put that screen, that scripture back up, that generation, you will not die. You're going to be raptured. Now, let me just say, we started in verse 32, but read 34. Ready? Truly I... Okay, so now the big question is, how long is a generation? Because now we got to take a generation, however long that is, and add it on to May 14th, 1948. So now, should we argue about how long a generation is? Nah. Let's just see how long the Bible calls a generation. Just settle the whole thing. Sound good? Say yes. Here we go. Psalms 90, verse 10. Let's read it out loud. 1, 2, 3. Our days. Leave it. See, that's what I love about my job, is I don't have to share my opinion, because my opinion means absolutely nothing. My only job is just to read the Bible out loud. Awesome job. So, what we're saying is a generation, according to the Bible, is 70 or 80 years. If you live longer than 80 years, you're getting bonus time. All right? Say yes. If you live younger than 70 years, you completed your assignment. But a generation is measured by 70 or 80 years. So now what are we saying? What are we saying? From 1948 to 70 or 80 years, those people are not going to die. So now we take the next step. Everybody gets their calculator out. It says 1948 plus 70 plus 80, round in there. Don't have to do it. I already did it. If you add 70 or 80 years, where do we land? Between 2018 and 2028. So according to that, the rapture is going to take place between 2018 and 2028, somewhere in that window. But don't worry, today, maybe we're in the middle of 2025. So I say all this to say, if you wanted to be lukewarm in or out, if you wanted to live double lives and all that kind of stuff, you should have did it. Now is not the time. Now's the time. Jesus, help me. Like I feel myself getting cold. And you turn on worship music. You start worshiping. You go to church. You start worshiping. Come on. Come on. Now, there are some theologians that say a generation is not 70 to 80 years, like that scripture says. I'm not arguing against theologians, because if one was sitting here, they would tear me to pieces. They've forgotten more than I will ever know. But just to be transparent, some theologians believe that a generation is 40 years. I have trouble with that, okay? Because I'm 46, and I'm cooking, and many of you are older than me, and you look like you're cooking, and so I'm having trouble with the 40 years. I'm not saying I'm right, I'm just telling you I have trouble with it. There's other theologians that say, hey, it's not 70 or 80, it's 100. And I'm like, okay. My only trouble with that is I don't meet a lot of those people. But, just being transparent, there are theologians that say 40 and there are theologians that say 100. I'm kind of landing, on Psalms 20:10, I think it was, 70 to 80. It's a logical step. So between 2018 and 2028, that's like right now. Okay. Now, let me just make you smile for a second. The majority of the room is excited about this. I say majority because some of you have been living really cold, so that makes you very nervous. However, there's also people like my son. Luke, stand up and wave at everybody. Is Riley here? Riley, will you stand up? Wave at everybody. Okay? Luke is 17, Riley's 15. They've had the same thoughts. One's a boy, one's a girl. Okay, I want to go to heaven, but I really was planning on getting married. And like my daughter is 20. She's like, Dad, I've been planning my wedding for 15 years. So there's a country song out there that says, I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go today. I get it. I get it. The problem is we have no idea what we're saying. So the best way I can illustrate this, and it's not good enough, but I'm going to try. When you are in the presence of God, you're in sensory overload, so much so, you don't remember or care about anything you used to care about. So this is the best illustration I can give. You and I are in a plane, okay? You can fly, but you don't know you can fly. Okay, but I know you can fly, but you don't know you can fly. So I say, hey, you, come on over here. You're like, hey. I open the door. I grab you by your pants and your neck, and I throw you out of the plane. And you go out of the plane, you're like, ah! Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I'm flying. Are you thinking about anybody? Are you like, I wanted to get married? No, you're not thinking about that stuff. Your brain! Oh my. That's heaven all the time. So everything you used to care about here, you're not even thinking about it. You're constantly like, and sometimes I've gone up here and I'm like, hey, when we get to heaven, you're not going to recognize me. I'm going to look like Brad Pitt. What's that movie he was in, the cowboy movie? And his name was Tristan. What's that movie? Legends of the Fall. When he comes riding over on that horse and his hair is hanging down, I'm like, not fair. I've said 100 times, when I get to heaven, you're not going to recognize me. I'm going to look like Brad Pitt. However, that's stupid talk. In heaven for 60 minutes, gone in 60, what's that movie? 90 minutes. 90 minutes in heaven. I brought him, what's his name? John Piper. Don Piper. Yeah, we're tight. A few years ago, I brought him to Celebration Church and interviewed him. I should bring him back. I'm like, what was heaven like? And he goes, when you walk in, you're getting bonus material right now. I wasn't planning on saying this. When you walk in, angels are singing, but they don't have to take a breath. They're just... And when you walk in, you automatically know the song. and you just start singing. And he goes, the grass is like alive, like, and I can't explain it, but there's flowers, and when you walk by, they kind of turn and look at you. It's like nature knows that God is there. That's why the Bible says the rocks can cry out. Like, nature knows. And he goes, and I saw a woman that I recognized while she was on earth. And when she was on earth, she wasn't pretty. She wasn't ugly. She was just there. Thank you. There. He goes, but when I saw her in heaven, she was so full of God's glory that she was the most beautiful person I had ever seen in my life. Now, what I've said over the last 90 seconds, that's just me trying to describe heaven. This is the rapture. This is, I need to go a little bit faster. I'm so sorry. The rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. And we shall be caught up together. The word rapture is not in the Bible, but rapture means to be caught up. Like, you're caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. That's the rapture. Second coming is when he actually comes down. We meet him in the air, thus we shall always be with the Lord. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52. Behold, I tell you, this is a mystery. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. What does that mean? The rapture, somewhere theologians believe, between 2018, 2028, in a twinkling of an eye, blink. You can't do anything faster than a blink. Your heart can't beat faster than a blink. Fastest thing you can do is blink. It happens so fast, you don't even know what's happening. That's how fast it is. The Bible says in a blink, 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 twinkling of an eye, blink. It doesn't say blink because a twinkling of an eye, it's like all of a sudden the eye twinkles. You're different. You're in a glorified body. In a blink, you're raptured. Boom, you're in a different body. Boom, in a blink, boom, you're up. This, according to the clock of Israel, should be landing anytime. Now, if you go push me in a corner and say, but do you believe it's going to happen anytime? I'm going to say this. Live like today is your last day, because one of these days you'll be right. One of these days. Someone on the planet your age died unexpectedly yesterday. It wasn't the rapture. The time was up. Okay, you don't know. But according to Scripture, between 2018 and 28. Now, when we get to 2029, you want to come up to me and say you were wrong. Look, I'm just telling you what theologians say. I'm reading the Bible. I'm doing the best I can to describe it. Will I be surprised if it's 2029 and we're not raptured? I won't be surprised. But I'll tell you this. I will have been ready the entire time. Now's not the time. It's not the time to be playing around. Now, last and final point. You have to figure out and remember your why. Like when you get ready to quit your job, you remind yourself of your why. Well, why don't I quit right now? Why? Because I need the money. Right? I don't feel like doing the dishes. Why am I going to do it? Because I need a clean fork in about an hour. Right? You always have to remind yourself of your why. So the question is why would you ever keep your spiritual pulse and say, Lord, I feel myself drifting. I need to worship you. And I'll tell you this, when I feel myself drifting, because I'm anointed to preach it, but I got to live it like everybody else. Lord, I love you. 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 I thank you. And I can feel that fire starting to turn back up. Yeah. Why would you live laying your life down? Lord, I know you don't like it, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not talking about these believers that say, I know it's sinful, but I believe God will forgive me. Yeah, just keep listening to the devil. Please, no, don't. It's the devil. It's the devil. Everybody's got, some people got Super Bowl parties. Let's say you invite me over for your Super Bowl party. But first, I went and chased my little 9-year-old in the mud to try to go get her, and I'm all covered with mud. And then I show up to your house for the Super Bowl party tonight, and I show up and I'm all muddy, and you're like, see? I'm sorry. Like, you can't come in. Like, you can't come in. Unless you're pursuing him. Now, if you're pursuing him, if I show up at all muddy and I'm like, look, I'm really sorry. Things got crazy. I want to come in. We're going to, my humility and apology, you're going to work something out. Are you with me? You're going to forgive me. Because my heart is longing. So, remember your why. The best way, I'm going to show you a video in a minute, and then the service is over. I wish I could see Jesus and know and be aware of how glorious he is all the time. Because then I'll always remember my why, and it'll be easy for me to lay my life down. I wish the same for you. I wish you could see the Lord, and it would be so much easier. And what I'm asking you to do is to stretch your faith and believe in what you cannot see. I'm going to show you a video, and it's the best we can do to try to say this is what Jesus looks like. But it's our best, but it's not good enough. But it's our best. I'm going to show you a clip. Many of you have watched The Chosen. Have you watched The Chosen? Wave at me. If you haven't watched The Chosen, go home. I don't know how you watch it. YouTube, Netflix, what? I don't know. Just find it. Google. Find it. Ask ChatGPT how to watch The Chosen. It will change your life. There's one particular scene that I'm going to show you. It's a woman who is possessed by demons. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And it's tormenting her mind. And you can see the struggle that the demons have on her mind and on her spirit. And people came to the religious leaders of the day and said, do something with her. And the religious leaders were like, I can't deal with this. And then she met Jesus. Take a look at this.
Are you okay?
I have to go. Leave me alone.
Magdala.
Lord, how do you know my name?
Thus says the Lord who created you.
To one degree or the other, all of us identify with Mary Magdalene. What has the Lord delivered you from? Like when you look back over your life, and you thought that season was a sentence, like you're not going to make it. But what did he deliver you from? I mean, we all have different stories. What was it for you? This is our why. You delivered me. You saved me. You kept an eye on me when I was ignoring you. You know, for the rest of my life, you're it. You're it. I'm living for the twinkle of my eye. I'm living for the blink. You're it. I want you to put your hands like this, every one of you, even if it's just at your waist level. And I want you to tell the Lord what you need from Him. And if you're in this room and you're not ready for the blink of an eye, I want you to tell the Lord, I'm sorry for my sins. This is the moment where you're everything to me. Tell Him what you need. Every single one of you, tell Him what you need. Now look at me for a minute. I don't know if that one particular scene where Jesus touched her hand and then she went like this, I don't know if anyone connected with that moment. I did. It's almost like your heart is longing for Jesus, but like this, the devil starts tormenting you with all these thoughts. And what in those moments you need to be delivered, just like she was. You need to be delivered. And what I've done so many times is it's like, and I'll say, Satan, on the third breath, you're leaving. And I will go. I can feel the Lord deliver me right there at that moment. And I got to tell you, I do that all the time. And so I want you to put your hands like this. And if you can relate to it, there's just a heaviness, there's something. I want us to do that together. Satan, when they take their third breath, you're going to leave this room. Every demonic spirit, they belong to Jesus. They do not belong to you. So you stop tormenting them. Now say that, Satan, on the third breath, leave me alone. All right, fill your lungs and breathe out nice and slow. One, two, three, go. Two more times. And be free now in Jesus' name. Now just do this. Look. It's called a brush off. Say in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And do this. Look. Tell me what you feel like. It's the power of the Lord. He still delivers people. I've kept you way too late. And if you have children in the children's department, I want you to know those teachers are going nuts. And I don't want you to leave them stranded. Like, I want you to go get your kids because I'm going to have to do a series of apologies to all of them. And I really do as well. They're so important to us, I got to respect them too. But I want to end with one worship song before anyone goes. I look forward to sharing part two with you next week. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May His face shine down upon you and be gracious to you. May His countenance be lifted up on you and bring you peace. In Jesus' name, amen.